how are we all doing this morning? How are we all doing this morning? You're right. Amen. You know, for me, on Saturday, I had a very quiet day. I spoke, I think, less than 100 words on Saturday. It was very, very quiet. It was unusual. Yeah, for my standard, I spoke 100 words on Friday. It wasn't a lot. And when I woke up this morning, I had a song I saw from a friend's WhatsApp status. And it drove me today to what I'm going to also talk about. But before I start to say anything, we're going to pray, amen? Let's bow our heads as we pray. Oh, righteous King, we're grateful that you're giving us life to be here. What a wonderful day it is. The sun is not out yet, but we have faith it will come out. Because when the sun comes out, it makes us more cheerful in the winter. We're grateful, God Almighty, that all of us are here. Some of us are not here. But we're grateful, God Almighty, that we know by faith that you are with them. For those who have traveled, God Almighty, we're grateful, God Almighty, by faith that you are also with them and you will bring them back safely to us. Thank you, O righteous King, for today. For our lives, for the word I will say, I pray that I do not speak for my mere words. Because God Almighty, I've been reminded that my words are folly to you. But I pray that I speak to your spirit. I pray, O God Almighty, that you use me. I pray, God Almighty, that my words will not be my own. I pray, O God Almighty, that everyone here who's listening, that they will have a little piece of what I'm about to say, God Almighty, that they can use in their life. Thank you, O God Almighty, for the communion that's going to come. I pray that it reminds us of the reason why we do take it, and that is because of Jesus Christ. I pray, God Almighty, that at the end, everything that's about today will bring glory to your name. Bless you, God, for you are good and you are kind, from just my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So I don't know about you guys, but I had an eventful week. I was stressed at work a lot because my colleagues were getting on my nerves. And they're always getting on my nerves. And I'm always very impatient. But that's something I'm working on by God's grace. And then on a Thursday morning, Andre writes me, "Omo, are you free?" I said, "I don't know." And then I'm like, "All right, it depends. What are we doing?" You know? And Andre is with this, he's coming with this energy. But let's go out, let's, you know, and I'm like, maybe not. Maybe we just stay back, play some video games. And Andre is like, "I don't want to play video games." You know, and we went out in noise. And that was encouraging for me. You know, we took a walk, had some good drink, had good conversation, and that was rich. And then on Friday, we were at the Outdoors for Bible Talk. And Kostia shared about the cross. And that was also very fulfilling for me and very encouraging. And so today, I'm just going to talk about what I've spoken about before. The glory in surrender. Maybe Marina, do you need the notes?
Oh yes.
Alright, cool. So I'm not really the notes guy because I don't want to be restrained by what I write. I want to be able to have that freedom to zoom out from the notes.
Yeah.
So in case I say something and you take a look at your phone and it's not there, have mercy on me. The glory in surrender. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 26. The glory of surrender. Matthew 26. This is going to be serving as a communion and as the message. So it's a communion message we have today. So we're going to read Matthew 26, And we're going to read from 36 to 45.
Which verse?
36 to 45. So, Zephon, Jaisis, there's four from I'm doing my best. Amen. I'm doing my best here. Amen. So, we're going to read 36 to 45. And, yeah. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Now, I don't know how Jesus felt, you know, but I've been in this situation before, you know, with my wife. You know, I remember one time I had a really bad news. My wife was very tired, you know, and I was crying. And my wife slept off, right? She was tired. And I was very hard on her. I was very angry. You know, and I'm seeing Jesus' response. Now, even the point where he's going to die, and he's not hard on his side. He's just telling them what they need to do, you know, because they're not bad people, right? So the first point I have for us today is surrender involves self-denial. Amen? Surrender involves self-denial. What causes us not to surrender? It's open ground. Question. What causes you Udo, Gaela, Katya, Fadim, Marina, Dre, everyone here, what causes you not to surrender to God? Marina?
Not
understanding the view of God. Not understanding the view of God. What not understanding the view of God?
I'm shy.
Okay. Yeah,
Andrew? Or maybe not trusting that it will be the best for me.
Not trusting that that will be the best for me. I like that. Yeah? Not understanding the view of God. I'm also not trusting, like, God, are you sure? You know? Are you really sure? It's not a Mercedes, it should be a Porsche. It's a Porsche, you know, so not trusting that God's will is good for me. What are the ones?
Wanting it to be what I want and my will.
Okay, so the spoiled brat. Wanting God, it has to be bread, not baguette. Or it has to be bread, not croissant. God, I want bread and only bread, not croissant. God, I want steak. I don't want fried chicken. Right? What of culture? Does culture make us become people that do not surrender? Because I've come from a place in Nigeria where we're very, very proud. We're very proud people. When we dress very proud. The south, the core southern part of Nigeria, Benin, where I'm from, they wear a lot of beads, You know, and they dress so big and they just want to spread. When we're dancing like this. You know? And so, culture can teach us to be arrogant. And we forget to surrender. Right? In Germany, we want to have it planned. I'm going to see Udo in 2 weeks' time. Udo has it in his calendar. But by 2 o'clock on Thursday, 2 weeks' time, Omo is going to see me. And so we want to be in control of our environment. And that makes us not surrender. What about our family and our loved ones? God, I want to serve you. For my wife. God, I want to serve you. For my mother. God, I want to surrender to you. For my kids. God, I want to follow you. For my job. You know, many things make us not surrender. When it comes to being a disciple of Christ, when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, the core thing is surrender. You know, the song I saw this morning from a friend of mine, I played it on the way, and I've been playing it the whole morning. And it's been bringing tears to my eyes. The song is from it's a language that is spoken in the northern part of a lot of West African countries. It's called Hausa. And the lyrics of the song says, Yesu mai rama, ji aduata, bandani wan emwani sa msekai. And it means, Jesus, the merciful one, please hear my prayer. I have no one but you. And it says, Jesus, the merciful one, here is my cry. I have no one but you. Surrender or surrendering means that we realize that Jesus, I have no one but you. But a lot of times we say, Jesus, I have no one but you, but I have my brain, I have my intellect. Jesus, I have no one but you, but I have my wife. That's my strength. Jesus, I have no one but you, but I have my kids to console me. Jesus, I have no one but you, but I have my job to provide money. And it's not bad to be from a physical standpoint. But the question is, why don't we surrender? You know, all the time in Jesus' life, Jesus kept on talking about dying. It's very sad if you're a Jesus' friend to just hear him every time say, the Son of Man is going to be taken away. The Son of Man is going to be taken away. The Son of Man you see now is going to be taken away. You know? And then Peter one time says, Jesus, you know, no one is taking you. We're here. We'll protect you. And Jesus says, get away from me, Satan. Jesus kept on saying every time that he's going to die. You know, in the early times of the ICOC church, in our church, we used to always say, when I die, let me die in the service of the Lord. It's a song, Lord, I'm a hard fighting soldier. You know, that was the slogan. It was like, bro, sis, I'm ready to die for Jesus. You know, I'm ready to just go now. And you can talk about dying all you want. But when it comes to the time to die, it's difficult. And we see it with Jesus. Jesus, I thought you said you were going to die. I thought you were okay with dying. Right? All the time in Jesus' life, he felt like he was okay with dying. But then Jesus then comes to say, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he goes to the Father and says, God, I don't want to die. But if it is your will, you know, on Friday I was explaining in the Bible talk how Jesus surrendered to God. You know? And I'll get there as I continue to speak. When Jesus prayed to God, there was no answer from heaven. I remember the last time, you know, Mariana said there was an answer. The angels came and they consoled him. But that was all they did. The angels came, Luke accounts that the angels came and they consoled him. But there was no answer from heaven. God did not say, Jesus, here's a written letter, go and die. And you can pray for your life. You can pray for your circumstances, and there will not be answer from God. You know, I've been praying for the past 1 year. God changed my heart. God changed my heart. And I stumbled on something this week, and it says, there are things that are divine, and there are things that are physical. When you're praying for the divine to fix the physical, it's a problem. Because you also need to do some things by yourself. So, what am I saying in essence? I'm not saying that after this message, you don't walk anymore. And you just stay at home and sleep on your bed and say, I've surrendered to God, God will provide. That is foolishness. Amen? But I'm saying that before you start the physical part, commit thy ways into the Lord's hand. You know, sometimes we can pray for our situations to change. Just like what Jesus did in the first part. In verse 39, he says, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus was praying for his circumstances to change. I don't know about you, but I know that our fingers are not equal, so we all have different prayer points. And some of them God hasn't answered. You can pray for your circumstances to change, and there will not be an answer from heaven. But a lot of times, surrendering has to do with our hearts. Are we praying for our hearts to change? You know, the Bible says in Romans 9, Paul explains about the fact that Pharaoh, God hardens Pharaoh's heart for a specific purpose. And it was events and events that led to Pharaoh being very annoyed that why are the Israelites just going to go like that? And his heart became hard, right? Are we praying for our hearts to change? Are we praying for our viewpoint to change? Because sometimes our viewpoint is shaped by our background, where we come from, the families we come from, the type of things we read, the type of things we watch. It shapes our viewpoint. And we can become blind if we do not have an open heart. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, offer yourself as living sacrifices. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as disciples, do we have a rigid mind? This is the way I operate. If you're not going to operate in this way, then I'm not going to operate at all. With that type of mind, you can't surrender. Alright? So, it is important for us to remember that surrender takes self-denial. It's going to cost us a lot. In Daniel 3, we don't have to turn there. The three guys say they're not going to bow to the statue of, you know, gold and whatever that Nebuchadnezzar has put up. And they say, you can throw us into the fire. We have faith that God will save us. But even if God doesn't save us, we will not bow. That is self-denial. Are we convenient disciples? For me, a lot of times I'm convenient. Okay, you want to come to Bible talk? Maybe I don't. I can't walk and come back by 10:30 when it's cold. it's going to be frustrating. Right? Oh, you want to come to church? For example, going to the Cowboys, there's only one struggle. It's parking. Amen? It's parking. Literally, everyone is trying to park. Sometimes I wish I had a spaceship, you know, so I could just leave my spaceship in the sky, take a ladder down, and just go to the house. Because parking is so hard to find. And when I was there on Friday, I drove around 15 minutes. I was like, God, why are we doing Bible talk now at this time and there's no parking? And my heart was wrong. Discipleship, if it's easy for you, there's a problem. If Christianity is easy for you, then there's a problem. Because there's nowhere in the scripture, there's nowhere in the Bible you can point to me that God's people just enjoy everything. It's consistent, 100% nirvana. So discipleship is easy for you, then there's a question. It's easy for you? Okay. We'll talk about it. But if discipleship is easy for you, then there's a problem. Because every time life and circumstances would push us to having to surrender to Jesus. It may be our health. You know? It may be our income stream. It may be our children. It may be our parents. It may be our siblings. It may be church. It may be work. I don't know what it is. But we're going to have to learn to surrender. My second point. Surrender makes us ask tough questions. Surrender makes us ask tough questions. You know, when we were growing up, we were told never to question God. God is a powerful being in the universe. Who am I to question him? Right? That's what I was told. I don't know about you guys. One moment. I think I have the scripture here. Just give me one second to whoop it up. So the scripture is Matthew 27, verse 46. Jesus says about 3 in the afternoon, so Matthew 27, verse 46. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't know about our situation. I don't know what it is that we have to surrender. But it's okay to ask God difficult questions. God, why am I like this? God, why am I so stubborn-headed? Strong-headed. Why am I so strong-headed? God, why don't I have peace? Peace is a quantity that can't be bought these days. It's hard. In fact, you can't stay on social media for 2 hours without getting drained. I don't know about anybody here, but for me, if I stay on Instagram for more than 30 minutes, I'm exhausted for the whole day. No, I'm exhausted. So I don't have Instagram on my phone. I don't. You know? Because I just see things and it makes me so sad. It's okay to ask God questions. You know, I don't know if my wife asks God, "God, why is my husband like this?" It's okay to ask tough questions. What is going on in our lives right now? You know, in Germany, we have a lot of things a little easier than some part of the world. So in Europe and some US, I think maybe some parts of North America, we have a little things more easier, you know? And that can make us become complacent disciples. That can make us abuse resources. That can make us feel like we're fine. Nothing happened. And we become very lax, you know, we become very lazy about the things of God. Now it's time for us to awaken from our slumber. Now it's time for us to wake up and ask tough questions. You know, I talked about being responsible in God's kingdom. And being responsible in God's kingdom, it means that Andre is responsible for me as I am responsible for Andre. And if I'm not willing to surrender, and Andre is also not willing to surrender, we're going to have a room full of men with ego. Andre says, Omar, this is how we're going to approach it. Omar says, Andre, this is how we're going to approach it. And Omar and Andre are going this way. And God is in the middle. So we got to ask ourselves tough questions. Now the fact that you surrender today, I said in the Bible talk on Friday, the fact that you pray, God, help me today to surrender, doesn't mean it's over. My mom always tells me one thing. The one who destroys the world does not sleep. So the fact that you woke up, the one who destroys the world does not sleep. So the fact that you woke up this morning and me, Andre, and Udo, we go for a prayer walk and we say, God, I surrender to you. And we are crying. And everyone can see that God's presence is with them. And in the afternoon, three of us can still be frustrated by the world and still fall into sin. We can still be frustrated by things going on, and we can decide to control our lives. So the fact that you've already surrendered your life and everything to God in the morning does not guarantee that the afternoon is surrendered. So there has to be a consciousness, an awakening in our minds, in our spirits, to remember when we are overly in control. When we are overly in control. When you wake up in the morning, do you tell God, God, this is what I want to do today? The Bible says in Mark, is it 1 verse 8? I think it's, I'm trying to get the scripture. So it's 1 verse 35. Mark 1 verse 35. Mark. Markus 1:35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Does that make sense? Jesus is the Son of God, right? So if he's the Son of God, why does he need to pray? If prayer is not important, why does Jesus need to wake up in the morning to pray? If prayer is not important, why does Jesus emphasize it to the disciples? In the core scripture we're reading, which is Matthew 26, right? He says, watch and pray. Verse 41. He says, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. Are we a praying church? And I must confess, you know, our prayer life as a family is not as great as it should be. You know? So I'm not going to stand here with the authority to say we're doing this perfectly well at home. You know, sometimes when we're distressed, you know, my wife said, let's pray. You know, we pray. But sometimes when we are lazy, you know, and it happens that I'm an early sleeper. So by 7:30 in the evening, my brain is already, it's gone, you know. And my wife can stay at 1 a.m. and she's still energetic. So when she wants to pray, my brain is already, and it happens sometimes that my wife is praying and I sleep off. It's happened. It also happens sometimes I'm praying, my wife sleeps off. But it happens more that I sleep off because my brain is tired. But Jesus emphasizes here that watch and pray. So as disciples, we need to observe, right? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. A lot of times we fight temptation by our strength. You know? A lot of times, everything we do is by our strength. Today, I'm trying as much as possible not to get angry. And then we're getting angry. I'll try again tomorrow. But God is saying, surrender all your problems to me. God is saying, bring all your frustrations to me. I can manage you. You can't manage yourself. So, my last question, my last point, you know, quickly, so I summarize. Surrender brings glory to God. Surrender brings glory to God. I think we're going to turn to Luke. In Luke 23, verse 44, where there I'll read. So Luke 23, verse 44. It said, it was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land. Until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining. That's crazy. 3 p.m., no sun. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this man was a righteous man. A centurion. A godless pagan. So not knowing God. A godless pagan. A centurion. Who did not know God. Who wasn't a Jesus follower. Who was a soldier for the Roman army. So when I mean godless, I mean he's not following the God of Jesus. He is able to see Jesus Christ and say, surely this man is righteous. I find that interesting. That someone who doesn't know God, someone who doesn't fear God, sees Jesus Christ and says, this man was righteous. This man was holy. Remember, the cross was for criminals. And this man is able to spot a supposed criminal and say that this man is righteous. See, when we surrender to God, it brings glory to God. When we surrender our families to God, it brings glory to God. For example, you take a test. You studied, I don't know, 48 hours. Back in the days, I used to read, I don't know, 20 hours straight. when I was studying for like my professional accounting exam, so the Steuerberater that you have in Germany, I did 20 hours of reading. I got to a point where my mom had to put ointment in my eyes so I sleep, because my mind was like, need to read more, need to read more, need to read more, you know? And it took like 2 days for me to finally collapse, like sleep, 2 days. So sleeping, waking up. But what I found is, when I passed those exams, by my strength, I say I studied hard. That's why I passed. But when I passed those exams by studying and praying, God, be with me in this exam. I pass the exam and I say, God, thank you for the ability to pass the exams. And we can see from our minds, when we want to say praises, who do we speak of first? God, I brought my family home safe because I have 47 years of driving experience. Is that what we say? I can park, if my car is this long, I can park in this small space and I will just enter. You know? But when we put our lives in God's hands, the next thing for us to do is give thanks to Him when He works out. Who is taking glory for your life? Are you the one? Oh, I raised perfect children. My child is well behaved, is well cultured, can eat in the queen's table with the right fork and the right knife and the spoon. There's no oil on his shirt. It doesn't get stained because he or she knows what they're doing. Who takes the glory in your life? Is it God? Or is it you? I pray that it's God. I pray we do not get too arrogant, you know, that we feel like we, everything I did it. You know, that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, right, in the Bible. He came out to his kingdom and he's just like, this is all me. Nebuchadnezzar just came out and said, this is all me. And God said, you're going to the bush, you're going to run mad. And Nebuchadnezzar was, he ran mad, right, for a while. Surrender brings glory to God. Hebrews 5, verse 7 to 10. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. So if you wake me up from sleep and you ask me, Omar, what is Hebrews 5, verse 7 to 10? I'll just go, and I'll tell you everything. I love this scripture because it summarizes who Jesus is. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, 5 verse 7 to 10, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. It says he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Through Jesus' life, glory goes to God. Jesus had power. Jesus could have taught his disciples to worship him and him alone. Right? Philippians 2 says that Jesus, in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to hold firm, something to grasp. But he humbled himself so that whose name may be glorified? God's name may be glorified. Are we giving... Are we allowing God to take glory in our life? It's not possible because Because if it's not possible, it's because we're not surrendering to God. You know, we're going through conversations about how to get the church excited and pumped about things of God, about camaraderie in the church, so togetherness in the church. But we all individually need to surrender first to God's will. Otherwise, Michaela says we need to go to the streets and evangelize. Andre says, no, we need to go to Omar's house to eat jollof rice. And I don't know. Vlad says, no, we need to focus on only the teenagers. The teenagers are the strength of the church. But if all of us are not surrendering individually, not collectively, because we all have individual needs, we all have an individual relationship with God. If all of us are not surrendering to God's will, we're not going to be one as a kingdom. And guess what? People who do not know us can see if there's love, if there's unity, if there's humility towards God in our midst. In Acts 11, right, it says that they saw Paul and Barnabas and they said, these guys are behaving like that Jesus Christ. That's how they call them Christians, right? These guys are behaving like that Jesus Christ we know. They're Christians. It wasn't a name, it wasn't a nice name. Now it's nice. It was sort of weird. It was like, these guys are behaving like Andre. They're Andreans. You know? That's what it was. These guys are behaving like Christ. That Jesus Christ we saw that. They're behaving like that. They're Christians. When the world sees us, the people that do not acknowledge that God exists, do they see God in our lives? Sometimes when my friends see me, they don't see God. That's the reality. I must be very honest. And it shouldn't be that way. For your families that are not disciples, when they see you, do they see God in your life? If they don't, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be very completely honest with ourselves. Because I'm sure there was a time when everyone will see you from a daily basis and they will see God in your life. And there's now a time where a lot of us are older disciples. I don't know, 20 years a disciple. Me, I think 15 years a disciple. And you can get complacent to the point where people don't see God in your life. And if people don't see God in your life, glory doesn't go to God. So remember, at the end, everything about our life as Christians evolves around surrender. Surrendering to each other in love is first surrendering first to God. Knowing that I'm not right, Andre is not right, but what does God have to say about this topic? So, I remind us the 3 points. One, surrender involves self-denial. Two, surrender makes us ask tough questions. God, why am I sick? God, why am I unhappy? God, why am I so angry? And then three, when we finally learn to surrender, surrender brings glory to God. And to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll pray for the communion. And then we'll have the communion. I hope I have not dampened the mood. I hope I've said things that will make us think. So I haven't come to suck the energy from the room. I've come to, by God's grace, challenge us to ask ourselves difficult questions and honest questions. Amen? Yes. With all, so I love all of us, and I'm not being tough on anyone. I'm just, you know, saying it as it is. Amen. All right. Let's pray. And then I will sing a song during the communion that we can meditate on. The song is All to Jesus I Surrender. All right, let's pray. Our God in heaven, what a wonderful time to be alive. What a wonderful day to experience who you are. God, sometimes we are far away from you, and you never leave your place. You are on the throne, and you are waiting for us. And sometimes, God, we're just so overwhelmed with life. For those who have to work from home, you just get up very early in the morning. If possible, take a shower. And then we just brush our teeth. If possible, have breakfast. Some people just have coffee. And they sit on the chair and we start to walk. We start to interact with people. And we forget, God Almighty, to put our day into your hands. For those who have to rush out and go to the office, they have to leave early so they don't get into that traffic, especially on the autobahn to Oberhausen. God, that traffic is, it's ungodly. And we forget, God Almighty, to just have a time just to tell you how we feel, just to tell you how tired we are sometimes, just to tell you how exhausted we are. And God Almighty, it is hard. Life is hard. And it's hard, God Almighty, because sometimes we don't involve you. We want to do it by ourselves. We pray, oh God Almighty, that you forgive us. For times, God Almighty, when we felt like we can do it by ourselves, for sure we can do it by ourselves. Because you, oh God Almighty, have given us the ability to do it in the first place. But I pray, oh God Almighty, that our hearts be broken towards you. I pray, oh God Almighty, that our hearts be humbled towards you. That we come to your throne. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you cleanse our hearts of unrighteousness. Because God Almighty, sometimes sin is the reason why we can't surrender. Because we're proud, because we've lost it in our minds, and we feel dirty and we don't feel worthy. And sometimes our relationship is that we see and we think that you will treat us the way our mind works. But God, your mind doesn't work like ours. I pray, oh God Almighty, that you be with us. I pray, oh God Almighty, that you sanctify us. I pray, oh God Almighty, that this will be a week that we will practice more about surrender. I pray, oh God, that this will be a week that when we forget, your spirit will say, hey, surrender that thing to God. And I pray, God Almighty, that when we surrender to you, give us the ability, God Almighty, to wait. Because that's the difficult part, Father. It's easy to say, Father, I surrender my life to you. But waiting, God, for you to show that you are in control, that's the difficult part. Help us, God Almighty, that we will continue to grow in our patience. We'll continue to grow in waiting for you. Knowing you, God Almighty, will come to our rescue. Knowing you, God Almighty, will fill us with your peace. Bless your holy name, for you are good. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. And above all, thank you, Holy Spirit, because at the end, we cannot do it without you. All these we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right.